Blog Talk Radio.
I tell you,
that's the lady in the man's bathroom. Look at that. That is a woman in the man's gun right here in Baltimore.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. It is about 12:30 a.m. on March 7th, 2011. And how are you doing, Couture?
I'm doing fine.
This is Sinbad, by the way, everybody. We're doing these shows really late now, which I saw someone said that they can't stay up that late. This show is almost like better not listened to live, but it doesn't matter if it's live or not. You know, it's just like here again. Sorry, I had my volume up. It just just because it doesn't need to be live.
Yeah.
It's not. We don't talk about anything that's like, presently happening, or anything like that. So it's just, whatever.
Maybe like 80 or 85% of people are going to always download anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Yes, it doesn't really matter. So I cannot believe that we are finally getting towards the end. I think we're going to finish 1997 today. So that's awesome. That is really awesome. And the something I wanted to talk about that people were talking about on the board before we even start this, we're going to be getting towards Starrcade in this show, so everybody keep listening. We will get there, I promise. We went on a lot of rants last week, and it was a pretty good show, I thought. So people on the board, on the F4W board or the Wrestling Observer board, whatever, were kind of saying that they don't think we should cover the Thunders. And, the way we've done the show is, we've been pretty precise with, Saturday nights. When Saturday night was no longer relevant, we kind of quit covering it. But Thunder wasn't necessarily relevant, but either was Nitro at that point. And they tied in storylines on Thunder that were still going to Nitro. And I think we should cover most of those. What do you think?
I think, maybe for the first year of Thunder, we don't really have to go in-depth like we do on the Nitros. But, when you get to, the real shitty years of Thunder, I think it helps to go in-depth on those.
Yeah. Well, we don't have to go super in-depth, in-depth for the matches, I don't think. I don't know. We'll just play it by ear and see how it goes,
Yeah,
a lot of times, especially the first 6 months of Thunder, Thunder was a pretty cool show,
Yeah.
So we'll just see what happens. All right, so the night before was World War III, and World War III, this was November of, November 23rd was World War III of 1997, and the winner of World War III was actually Scott Hall, and I was a huge Scott Hall mark at the time. If he hadn't fallen apart and didn't become such a joke now, I probably would still be a huge fan of him, but
I thought he was one of the most underrated guys when it came to wrestling.
Oh, he was so great. Oh, he was so,
great. People like to say that, Shawn Michaels had a match with a ladder at WrestleMania 10. I call bullshit on that because, Scott Hall did just as much in that match. Well, not as high risk as Shawn did, but he did his part in that match. I hate when people say shit like that.
And he took a beating. He took a beating, and that's an important part of, the match. There's a lot of things every year at WrestleMania, they have the Money in the Bank, and there'll be someone like Kane in there. And people are like, why is Kane in there? And the reason is because, someone needs to be, the guy that catches the guys. Or, what I mean? Honestly, someone has to have that spot. If Kofi Kingston is going to dive on, a group of people, if he's 15 feet up in the air, CM Punk is not going to catch him. He's just not going to. He's not big enough to catch him. The Big Show or Kane or someone like that, they possibly could. So it's stuff like that that just, it always irritates me, but whatever. So Scott Hall wins. So he officially he's the number one contender for the world title now. And which just by him winning, it kind of should have been a sign of what's going to be, You should have known that there was no way Hogan was going to retain just because of, they're not going to do NWO guy versus NWO guy, but
yeah,
whatever. Okay, so Monday Night Raw next night. The show opens with the NWO coming to the ring, and of course Hogan, being Hogan, holds up a sign that says "Bischoff owns Vince" that a fan had. And
well, did that turn out not to be true?
No, not even close.
And Vince literally owned Bischoff for about 3 years.
Yeah.
Because he had him under contract.
Yes. Just, you know, we'll get into that when we get to it. But it's like one of those things that, you know, it's so shocking that Bischoff went there, but he didn't have an option. He didn't have an option. To be honest, I was, like, more impressed that he actually was willing to sign and go and, you know, go there with his tail between his legs than anything. I mean, really.
Yeah,
it
and the humble himself.
It took some guts to do that.
Yeah.
Yes. So,
you know, if it was the other way around, I don't see Vince McMahon ever coming to work for Bischoff.
Yeah, I really don't think Vince. I think if Vince would have walked the war, he probably would have offed himself or something. It would have been bad. So Hogan is out there, and he says that he challenged anyone with the guts enough to face him to challenge him for the title tonight, because he is feeling very comfortable with his reign as champion. So Giant comes out, and then J.J. Dillon comes out and says that the Giant cannot wrestle without a doctor's clearance. And
did he get an injury in the pay-per-view or something?
Yeah, I don't remember. I really don't remember that. But J.J. Dillon's going to draft a document to, you know, make sure WCW is free and clear if the Giant's further injured. And so ridiculous. But speaking of J.J. Dillon, I've actually been in communications with him the past couple of days about him coming on the show.
Oh,
I'm gonna try getting guys. Yeah, it's, you know, like I told him like the format that we do the show, and he seems pretty interested because we want like a unique look at it, like from the inside. So, you know, hopefully that works out. So I will keep everybody updated.
We had him on the Drunkcast a couple of years ago. He's an awesome guest.
Oh, excellent! So this should be great.
Yeah.
All right. The Steiner Brothers defeat top contenders Disorderly Conduct.
I have no idea.
They were wasn't one of them like I thought one of them was like Animal's brother. I thought it was.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm probably wrong. And in the match, Larry Zbyszko calls Rick Steiner Rob, which is kind of funny. So it's just Booker T wrestles Ming, and he rolls him up, which is like kind of like a really, really big upset, because Booker T is just a tag team guy at this point. And Ming is like he's a mid-card act, but, I mean, he's still, I mean, you would think going in that Ming's just going to destroy the guy. So, it's so funny, like, during the match, the announcers, they're, like, going on and on about how, you know, if the Giant wins the world title, what it's going to mean for Starrcade. Like, you know, like, that's really going to happen, you know, like, they're going to change the match to the Giant versus Sting. Like, come on. Just, I mean, the stuff that they like would come up with. But I mean, I guess they have to, you know.
Yeah, they gotta kind of put it over by saying, you know, if he wins, this will happen. Just kind of, I don't know, make it make sense a little bit. Even though going in, Giant obviously is a fan that knows what's going on. You know, he's not going to win the title.
Raven signs his contract, finally, after about 400 years of negotiating. So he's supposed to have a match against Chris Benoit. And, of course, he doesn't have the match. So he has Sick Boy do the match instead. And Sick Boy loses, taps up to the crossface. And, you know, like, just during the match, like, Benoit just, like, made the Flock look stupid. And then, of course, Saturn hit him with a TV title and put him in the Rings of Saturn. So
I remember that J.J. Raven had signed the contract and given it back to J.J., and J.J. said that there's so many, like, things crossed out, like, in red on this contract, like, stuff that he's not going to do and everything. It's just, like, it was like a, I don't know, it probably looked like Ed and Santonio drafting an email. You know, all the words are misspelled, and it's got the red line under it, under all the misspelled words.
Yes, yes.
That's probably what it looked like.
It's great. It's great. All right. Preston Ikea beat Alex Wright with the flying crossbody. Which, Preston Ikea was in New Japan, and, like, he had learned a lot while he was there. I remember when he came back, and he only had a couple of matches, but this was, like, it was kind of a big win, because Alex Wright kind of always was in that, like, was in that picture, you know what I mean? It was kind of always in the, you know, not necessarily, like, title contention, but, like, a lot of the mid-card titles he was, like the TV title and the light heavyweight title was, so, yeah, I don't know. It was just a match. And Macho Man beats Disco Inferno with two flying elbow smashes.
Now, real quick, back to this Prince Ikea match. This may have been the match that Alex Wright got injured in. And didn't he have, like, an aneurysm or something?
He had a what?
Like a brain aneurysm or something around this point? Or some kind of brain trauma or something?
Yes,
because he was gone for a while after this.
A long, long time, like over a year.
Yeah.
Or at least a year, because he came back with a shaved head.
Well, he had come back earlier than that, because you remember they were teaming him and Disco up? Like the Dancing Fools or something like that.
No, that was after.
No, I don't think so. I think it was before that, because I remember, like, they were at, they teamed, like, at, like, Road Wild or something in, like, 1999.
Yeah, they were called the Boogie Knights.
Yeah, the Boogie Knights, that's right.
Yeah, they're called the Boogie Knights. I thought, actually, I could have sworn that was after, but I guess I'm wrong. But I remember that, because I remember he came back as Berlin with the Wall.
Yeah.
And that was in 2000, I think.
Yeah, late 99, early 2000, something like that.
And this is where Alex Wright fires Deborah, and they argue back to the dressing room. Is this the final thing for Deborah, too?
Yeah, this is her final appearance on a wrestling show until, like, late 98 in WWF.
Yeah, she eventually goes there with Jeff Jarrett. She got a divorce from Mongo. All right, and so Macho Man beats Disco. Pretty much it. That's all you really need to know. The Iceman D. Malenko beat Brent Armstrong with Texas Cloverleaf. Yeah, Brent Armstrong would only really show up, like, on an occasional Nitro. It was so weird.
Yeah, I mean, he's a guy that I'd want on my show all the time, just so he makes everybody else look so much better.
Yes. Chris Jericho loses to Buff Bagwell. That's something you won't hear today. With the Buff Blockbuster. And That move was so stupid. That was such a stupid move. If anybody doesn't know what the Buff Blockbuster was, it was Buff Bagwell would jump off the top rope and do, like, almost like an air somersault, and he would grab your head on the way down and so then you'd fall backwards. So you would just fall straight back. He'd fall straight back, or he'd follow, or he'd fall back, but he was also doing a flip, too, so he would have landed way harder than you would have. You know,
yeah.
You actually have a chance to brace your fall. He can't because he's holding onto your head. So it's almost like he's protecting your head, and his head is just hanging out there. Stupid move, one of the worst. I mean, that's like got to be the bottom five finishers of all time. I mean, really, it's horrible. I think that the worm is a better finishing move than the buff blockbuster. So horrible. In a rematch from WrestleMania 7, Ray Traylor beat Kurt Hennig by DQ because of NWO Wrestling. And Ray Traylor, this whole mini weird push that he's getting, like, he was definitely pushed as like a higher mid-card, you know, wrestler right now. And he was just given his shoot name, Ray Traylor. And it was just, as much as the thing is, at the time, I loved it. And I loved him. But, I mean, he wasn't at all over. He wasn't over.
No.
You know, without that, you know.
The Big Boss Man was over. Ray Traylor was not.
Yes, exactly. And unless he was carrying a big stick and a ball chain, too, he was just not over. And that sucks. This is also Lodi. Lodi was in the audience for the first or second time on the show. What a horrible, horrible gimmick of Lodi. Bad stuff, but, you know, whatever.
He kind of took Davey Richards' place, holding up the signs.
Yes. It was blatantly ripping off Sign Guy. I mean, blatantly.
You know that Lodi is idol spelled backwards, right?
Yes, I know. And if you didn't know that, WCW would tell you every show.
Yeah.
Kind of like
not
TNA
quite
with
as Don West and Mike Tenay, but
yes, not quite as much. But they did. So the Giant was Hogan. Of course, disqualification. NWO runs in. The best part about this whole match is that the corner man for Hulk Hogan, biggest star in the company, Vincent, loved it. I loved when Vincent would come out with stars because he's great. So great.
John had his hand in the cast. That's why he had to sign the thing to wrestle.
It is why. That is definitely why. So that's end of Nitro for this week. Now we're finally getting to December 1997. I really never thought we'd make it. So let's everybody, we're actually not going to make it to the end of the year this month. We're going to go to Starrcade because, like, we can start building from there right after Starrcade, which is practically the end of the year anyways. But, I mean, like, I don't want to start a new show. I want to end the show after the pay-per-view because I like to do it that way because, I mean, if that's all right with you, Couture.
That's fine.
Yeah,
like,
it's a lot
anyway.
Easier. Yeah, I figured. Okay. All right. So we have Nitro starting. Of course, Bischoff comes out to be interviewed by Mean Gene. And he has his verbal agreement to wrestle Larry Zbysko. He said that it was only good when he offered it then. And he said that the only way he'd be willing to wrestle Larry Zbysko is if Monday Nitro was the prize. But Larry Zbysko doesn't have the authority to do that. So Bischoff, of course, walks off. Eddie Guerrero does commentary for this following match, actually. Rey Mysterio wrestles Juventud Guerrera, wins, of course. How many times do you think they had matches?
In WCW?
Yes.
I don't know. Maybe around, maybe like 70 times or something like that. Could be more, could be less than that.
Just insane. Just a lot of matches to be on TV. All right, Hugh Morris beats Raff. This match was more so not as a push for Hugh Morris. It was more just a tease, the feud between Raff and Mortis that's about to start. Well, that they're at least teasing, you know.
Yeah.
Mortis has a loaded boot, and, he tries kicking Hugh Morris. Morris dodges it, you know, and then, of course, Raff eats the boot to the face. So, awesome. They're like, they would do those, like, those tag team breaking up pieces all the time. All the time. Hogan now. He comes out, tells everybody how much he hates Sting and people that like Sting. He says that, you know, he hates seeing people wear Sting masks. And he threatens to beat up an old lady at ringside. And that's pretty much it. Prince Iaukea beats Yuji Nagata following the Steamboat crossbody block from the top.
I'd say that's an upset at this point.
Yes, it wasn't upset. Harlem Heat beat Faces of Fear. Another roll up. Booker T wins. So Stevie Ray was such a horrible wrestler. I mean, he was never ever even remotely good.
Yeah. He lucky he had Booker as a tag team partner.
Yeah, he was lucky. Hall destroys Disco. Disco, of course, just buried, but whatever. Ultimo Dragon, J.J. Dillon is doing an interview, Mean Gene, says that he can and he will put Nitro up on the line, so Bischoff will have to face Larry Zbysko at Starrcade. And Bischoff is
the person defending Nitro is Larry Zbysko.
Larry Zbysko, human game of chess. Sorry. Excuse me. Also, Dragon made Psychosis submit to the Dragon Sleeper. It looks completely different. It didn't have the horns. It was very why did he switch his mask up for only these two shows? Like, it's the same way for the next show too, and then it just went back to normal. I don't know. Maybe he was trying something new. Whatever. All right, Kidman gets beaten by Benoit. This is the same thing. Same thing. He's supposed to wrestle Benoit. Or he's supposed to wrestle Raven. And, of course, Benoit is wrestling someone else instead. It's Kidman this time. They all try to act.
Hey, real quick, we got a call on the line. I'm going to take it, okay?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, area code 219, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hi, this is Bill.
Bill?
Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bill who?
Bill who? Oh, I'm sorry. Bill Clinton.
President of the United States, Bill Clinton?
Well, former.
Oh, okay. Oh, so what are you up to, Bill?
Oh, you know, just playing saxophone like always.
So, Katrina, do you have any questions for former President of the United States, Bill Clinton?
Well, actually, I got a question for that. I'm sorry?
Did
you inhale?
Of course I did.
Okay.
I just sent emails a couple hours ago, actually.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
so
I wanted to call up because I really disagree with you guys about Stevie Ray being a bad wrestler.
Why is that? You thought he was good?
Well, first of all, of course he was. Sorry, my voice is kind of bad this evening. Anyways, I thought his finisher was awesome.
The slapjack?
The slapjack, yes.
What was his finishing move? Like, I know that, like...
The slapjack, it was like a pedigree, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a pedigree.
Yes. Oh, I thought you were talking about when he handed that fucking,
honest,
like, piece of leather.
To be honest, I thought he did it better than Triple H.
Oh, bullshit, man. Come on.
You don't agree?
Do you think better wrestler than Triple H?
Oh, by far. Light years ahead of him.
You didn't see that YouTube clip where Triple H fucking killed that guy with the pedigree that one time?
Yeah, I've seen that. But anyways, I think that Stevie Ray was the team of Harlem Heat. He was the team.
Oh,
he carried that team.
Bill.
He carried it.
Prove me wrong. Booker T's a 5-time world champion, Stevie Ray. What did Stevie Ray do in wrestling?
Stevie Ray was the leader of NWO Black and White.
There you go.
Was he the leader?
He was.
Who was the leader?
He led Vincent and Scott Norton and all those guys.
Vincent was not the leader.
I think Vincent was. Vincent, all right, Bill, one last question before you go. Was Vincent the toughest member of the NWO?
Ever?
Yes.
What? Oh, yeah, Vincent by far.
Yes, because he was always the first to hit the ring.
And the last.
Have you ever been to one of Vincent's autograph signings? Have you ever been to one?
No, no one goes to them.
Yeah, that's what I said. Nobody else does either.
All right, please hang up.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Okay.
All right. Play the saxophone on your way out. Oh, man.
That's somebody over here next to the woods.
Yes, I know exactly who it is. That's my buddy Jerry that used to go to shows with me all the time. He always calls in every show I've ever had doing a horrible Bill Clinton impression, and he thinks it's good. So that was interesting. All right.
Nobody said Stevie Ray was the leader of the team of Harlem Heat and was the best guy on there. I just immediately thought he was a troll.
No, he's actually he's always played devil's advocate no matter what the situation. Like, you could...
Mm-hmm.
Seriously, no matter the situation, like, I always talk about how I hate Nickelback and how they're a horrible band, and then he'll just start singing Nickelback, you know, saying that they're a great band. Just no matter what you think is the right answer, he will always give you the other answer. So
well, I always do that when it goes off from, like, Triple H or somebody like that. I always defend. Just for
yeah,
sake
yeah,
of
yeah. Yeah, I know. All right, Lex Luger beats Buff Bagwell by DQ when Vincent interferes. Of course, Vincent always in the mix. DDP beats Kurt Hennig by DQ. So, you know, of course, they have a cool little match, and they. Like, this disqualification wasn't as bad as, like, the NWO, like, you know, turning or, you know, running in. But it was still a letdown. But I thought they built up the match pretty good. They built up the match that's coming up at Starrcade pretty good. So
I remember at the end of this match, Hogan gave Paige, like, the worst diamond cutter I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, yes.
God.
He's so bad. All right. So, Rick Taylor is going to wrestle Conan. The lights went out, and then Conan was flat on his back, unconscious in the middle of the ring. What happened with this? Is this when he was feuding with, who's he feuding with? Why was he unconscious?
I think this was when they were building, Sting was coming back or something.
Yeah,
like
I think
taking
that's
out
the
NWO guys.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. All right, Bundo beats Barbarian with a tombstone. Most terrifying thing in the history of time. Mongo trying to give Barbarian the tombstone. So,
I always like when the guys with the hard heads, when you know they their heads were hard as rocks when you're like throwing fists, but if you do like a tombstone on them, it just takes them out of the match.
Yeah, it knocks them unconscious. But whatever. I've decided that unless it's involving a match, I'm not going to talk about Raven's Flock, anything that they did, just because it was just so bad and stupid. Torno comes out for an interview. And it's like, why was he even out?
Because the guys at the back are giving him shit because he lost to a woman.
Yes. That is the storyline. Sorry. And they run about like probably 10 promos every single week, saying that Sting is going to be wrestling Hogan at Starrcade. To say that they didn't build it up well would be a lie, because they did. They did.
Oh, yeah, this was like the maybe the best-built match in the history of this company, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah, probably. I mean, it was a year in the making. It clearly was the year in the making. So, that's awesome. All right, we have... Dean Malenko. Oh, first off, Lex Luger says, you know why Lex Luger can't beat him? Because, and I quote, he's buffed and in Buffalo. Oh, Buffalo. Dean Malenko beats Pathetic. Yeah, there goes the end of that push.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... The Giant comes out for an interview. Kevin Nash had challenged him for Starrcade. Giant accepts for a match that's never going to happen. And so it's supposed to be the first one-on-one challenge as they build it, even though they wrestle in house shows 1,000 times. Lodi comes in and wrestles Benoit, loses, of course. Same thing, supposed to be wrestling Raven, doesn't. So, there's Benoit versus Raven for Starrcade. Hugh Morris, Ric Flair comes out. Flair challenged Kurt Hennig to a cage match at Starrcade. Flair says he has no patience for Bret Hart and says, that he is the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. And he says, comparing Bret Hart, comparing to Jim Kelly. Ooh. So planting the seeds for the Bret Hart, Ric Flair thing.
Yep.
Hugh Morris beats him to the DQ because Macho Man attacked the referee. So Macho Man
Jim Kelly was actually in the audience.
Yes, he was. All right. Disco Inferno beats Saturn with a chart buster to regain World TV title, which was awesome. I'm dead serious. I did not see this coming at all. At all.
Yeah,
when it happened, I'm dead serious. I'm
kind
of
frustrated. He got all frustrated and pissed off because people were making fun of him. So he just got so mad that he went out there and beat Saturn for the title.
Yes, it's so awesome. So awesome. The Flock, since they formed, have lost every single match they've ever been in, with the exception of, like, Saturn winning the title, I believe.
Yeah.
Disco Inferno was just so great. I know every show and every time we talk about him, like, you know, we need to get him on the show. That's what we need to do. We need to get Glenn Gilberti on the show. Just to, like, the whole time we'll just praise him and just talk about how great he is. So that's what I want to do. So Buff Bagwell, Russell Weissluger, beats him by count out because Luger's, you know, beating the shit out of Vincent and Scott Norton outside.
What a boring-ass feud this is.
Horrible. DDP is wrestling Scott Hall, of course. NWO rushes the ring. They all attack him. And there's a Sting dummy in the ring, and Hogan pulls the dummy, Sting, and Sting beats the shit out of the whole NWO, and that's the end of the show. That's the end of the show. So that's it for that. So Nitro, the 15th of December. We are, all right, we're in Horseman Country, okay? A little fact, Todd Champion and Firebreaker Chip wrestled in the dark match in December 1997, Monday Nitro, and who they defeated was the Samoan SWAT team of Tonga Kid and Samu. Why weren't any of these guys on TV anymore? Oh, I know why, but, like, the fact that, like, they were still getting time on television or, you know, live events, it boggles my mind that they were even still there. Todd Champion and Firebreaker Chip. I haven't seen Firebreaker Chip since 1992. I mean, where were these guys? Where were they at?
I'm trying to think because I have no idea.
I don't know either.
And I don't think we ever heard from him again.
All right, Bret Hart. Bret Hart is in WCW debuts the show. All right. NWO comes out. They're all looking for Sting. You know, that, like, what badasses they are, you know, this NWO. They're so tough. And there's 20 of them afraid of one guy, Sting. So, I guess it makes Sting over as a babyface. Hennig says he's going to retire Ric Flair to Starcade. So, this is the match they're building up. It's Kurt Hennig versus Ric Flair at Starcade in a cage.
Yep.
This is what they're building up. All right. Someone has a sign that says party at Flair's house. Hilarious signs. They play a commercial, Larry Zbyszko just getting beat up a bunch. It's an NWO black and white commercial. These things were pretty well made. But
yeah.
They kind of, you know, sometimes buried a little bit too much. So, I don't know. All right. So Ray Trailer finally renamed his finishing move after he beat Vincent in this this battle of these two gladiators, and what was once called the Trailer Slam is now called the Trailer Trash. So there you go. There you go. Eugene gets title is a World TV title shot at Disco Inferno, and loses. After he gets hit with a chart buster. And Disco Fever is running wild in WCW. And So Sonny Ono tried to interfere in this match, by the way, and he got a chart buster. Fit Finley beats Dean Malenko, which is kind of a big win for Fit at the time, because Dean didn't lose too many matches, you know.
Plus they were building him up for a match at Starrcade with Eddie Guerrero, I believe. So.
Yeah. Rey Mysterio and his time opponent, Hoovy, defeated Psychosis in La Parca when Hoovy beat Psychosis after a 450. Just, you know, I like these matches. Like, you know, I watch a lot of them. But just like the same different combinations, you know, it's the same things over and over and over. I don't know.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Gene Okerlund is in the ring with Doug Dillinger. Gene Okerlund introduces Charlotte's own Arn Anderson. Arn Anderson says that he loves Charlotte and feels at home. Anderson tells Kurt Hennig that his problems with Flair are far from over. And Arn introduces Ric Flair. And saw a check to the Charlotte Police Department for the memorial to the 22 officers that have been slain in the line of duty in the police department's history. And Flair wants it to be the best Nitro ever, so he challenges Kurt Hennig for tonight. And he said not even the whole NWO could beat up Ric Flair and Charlotte. And they leave, and the crowd pops like crazy, so...
Has Blair not wised up to wrestling in the Carolinas yet on TV?
No, apparently not. J.J. Dillon comes out, interview with Mean Gene. J.J. says that Bischoff's trying to warm out of the Starrcade match. And he's saying that he's a wrestler, and he will only wrestle if punches, kicks, and knockouts count. And JJ said he agrees as long as submissions count. Of course. And that's it. Scott Hall beats Chris Jericho. You know, that's good as a win back.
Yep.
That's good as a win back, you know. Mongo's supposed to wrestle Ming. Ming comes to the ring. They're waiting for Mongo to come out. It's Goldberg standing over Mongo on the ground. And J.J. Dillon, wrestling logic, since Goldberg took out Mongo, Goldberg's going to have to wrestle in his place. And Goldberg says, "You want another victim?" And he storms out. And... you know, they come to do a match, and they don't even do a match. They just get in the ring and, like, have a shoving contest, and then whatever, I don't know. Because Mongo comes out, of course, and I don't know. All right, WWE Tag Team Champions, who are barely mentioned, the Steiner Brothers beat Conan and Scott Norton by DQ because Vincent interfered. See, this is all right. This is what's wrong with WCW, okay? If the Steiners can't even beat fucking Scott Norton and Conan in a match, there's some issues, you know. Ray Traylor makes a save, building up to him teaming up with the Steiners. Macho Man beats Booker T following an elbow drop. So. Give it Booker T the bigger matches. Scotty Riggs loses to Benoit, of course. Just same stuff.
At this point, I was kind of getting pissed off by this.
Yes, it is. It's gone on too long. Gone on just way too long.
And it's funny because I actually wanted to see these two guys work with each other.
Yeah, so I mean, so did I, of course. So did I. And I just, J.J. Dillon and in Oakland are in the ring. They're talking about how they're trying to pick a referee for his match. J.J. Dillon says Randy Anderson. Bischoff says that he said too fat. Scott Dickinson. He says he's as fat as you because the referee. And you know, and just fine, I'll pick one of your guys as long as I'm allowed to pick which one. Bischoff says okay. And Bret Hart comes out. Because Bret Hart's in the NWO, according to Bischoff, you know. And then Bret Hart says he'd be honored to be the referee. But then he tells Bischoff not to expect any help from him because nobody knows that me would like to get screwed over by a referee. And I don't know. What a waste.
Bad way to debut the probably the most talked about guy in the in professional wrestling at the time.
Yes. Yes. All right. So, this is it's Ric Flair versus Hennig. Yeah, because they all attack Ric Flair. The whole NWO does. They attack his ankle. DDP come to save him. And the Steiners and Luger carry Flair back to the dressing room. And Sting comes out. Sting is doing like one of those things where the lights keep going off and he's in a different spot of the arena. Cool. And they were just trying to use magic, I guess, to have this happen. I don't know.
Flair gets beaten like a drum in the Carolinas again.
Always. Always.
That guy just can't win.
Oh. No, he really just can't. All right, we're at the go-home show for Starrcade. All right, walk us through, Couture.
Let's see, Dave Finley defeated the Cruiserweight Champion Eddie Guerrero via count out when Eddie got tired of being beaten up and just left.
Genius.
They're also building Eddie Guerrero and Dean Malenko for Starrcade. They do a promo with the Giant, speaking calmly about ripping Kevin Nash's arms out with his teeth. What does that even mean? Oh, he's going to bite him. Okay, never mind. I think he meant Kevin Nash. He's going to, you know, tear his arms out. So. Never mind. Okay. Stevie Michael beat Mean following a tombstone pile driver. Talk about somebody that should no-sell a tombstone pile driver as Mean.
Yes, of course. Yeah. Yes, exactly. I mean, he if anybody's going to do it, it should definitely be him.
DDP comes out for an interview and I guess he made a challenge to Curt Hennig for Starrcade since Ric Flair's not going to be in the match. So they're going to have a U.S. title match. Rey Mysterio Jr., Juventud Guerrero, and Hector Garza.
You forgot to mention. DDP talks about how he loves Chris. And it's going to be the ultimate Christmas present for him to win the U.S. title at Starrcade.
That's right.
We can't forget about that big stuff, you know.
Ray Jr., Hoovy, and Hector Garza beat La Parca, Psychosis, and Silver King. And so they decided to add another guy to the matches we've already seen a million times before.
Of course. Of course. Van Hammer is the last member of the Flock to wrestle Benoit. And of course, it's built up against Raven, You know, of course, the Flock interferes, so he can't get a win over Van Hammer. Van Hammer, because, this is telling you, Van Hammer probably played politics for this. Because Van Hammer, when he was in the MIA or whatever they're called, Misfits in Action, he was supposed to be Private Stash, your private stash of weed, Private Stash. But he didn't want to just be a private, because it's a military reference. So he was changed to Major Stash, which makes no sense at all. Major Stash. What a... Fuck Van Hammer. Seriously. Gosh, I want to get him on the show just to tell him to fuck off. This would literally be the entire interview. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Pro Wrestling Flashback. We are here with Van Hammer. Fuck you. And then that would be it. Because he's horrible. I hated him. Let's talk about Van Hammer real fast. How did you feel about him?
Just a typical bad big man.
Worse than most.
Yeah, I'd say so.
He had two matches that were good, and they were both against Mick Foley. And it was because Mick Foley was so good. He never ever had another good match. So, yeah, just an idiot.
I did love that cheesy video of him when he was in WCW in, 91. They did some cheesy music video with him. I thought it was pretty funny.
Oh, that was great. That was great. He wore, freaking skin tight, stonewashed jeans, with the top button undone. He'd be fucking playing guitar. He's freaking... He'd have that, it's like walking, just normal day, but, his body was, greased up with butter, it looked like. As a matter of fact, to take it back, Van Hammer's awesome. Hammer sucked, but Van Hammer ruled. All right, so they have a thing where NWO is trying to take over WCW. They do the thing. This whole thing is so stupid. They took over the thing, and the only person they kept there was Bobby Heenan.
This was an awful segment.
It was so bad.
Segment from earlier in the year.
Yeah, and the thing is, it actually lost viewers. Because they really did.
Yeah.
And they realized that they could not do that after this.
They scrapped all plans for NWO Nitro after this one. It just took
those.
That's why they were building this set for 20 minutes. That's what it seemed like.
The only highlight of this whole thing was Kevin Nash on commentary and the funny shit he was saying. It's just random stuff that he was just talking about. He wished Barbara Billingsley, the mom from Leave It to Beaver, a happy 71st birthday. Just for no reason. He just did it.
He's awesome. They should put him in the broadcast booth in WWE.
Oh, they should. Awesome. They should. He's great.
He'd be great.
Just really witty guy.
I remember that one time where he was supposedly retired and, he just came back to, call Thunder with, Mike Tenay and, I think, Lee Marshall, and he just made, insider jokes for 2 hours.
Yes, I remember that. Kurt Hennig beats Disco Inferno with a perfect plex. Rick Rude during the match said that the Giant's brain is like a BB rolling around in a boxcar. And then Nash said that his 18-month-old took his action figure of the Giant and flushed it down the commode, and that he thinks he's going to do the same thing to the Giant. Someone had a sign that said Disco Inferno was a fag. So that's awesome.
I wonder if he had to do any kind of plumbing if they tried to flush that one of those big action figures down the toilet.
Yeah, seriously. Yes, speaking of action figures, There's these new action figures that are, because there's that video game coming out, like WWE All-Stars, where they have like a bunch of like the old main eventers. Well, they released like these action figures of like one old guy and one new guy. And there's one with like Macho Man and John Morrison. There's another one of Jake Roberts and Randy Orton. There's one of CM Punk and Steve Austin. And every single one of them looks so awesome. So, of course, I had to buy the John Morrison and Macho Man one because it was awesome. So, good discs coming out still. That's great. And actually, there's a guy on the board, Dead Sea Drop, who for some reason only buys, well, from what I've noticed, TNA figures. And I honestly think of all the people that I've talked to that collect, he's the only person that is the person that collects TNA figures. I mean, just...
I mean, most people get them for, like, the historical significance. Like, you like getting, like, the old ones and stuff like that.
Yeah, and I like the legends, yeah.
I don't see a TNA ever having any historical significance. So I don't know why you would buy the action figures. I don't know. It's weird.
My biggest problem with the TNA toys is they are not to scale. Like, I mean, like, that bothers me that the Kevin Nash figure is the same size as the Amazing Red figure. I don't understand how, like, that. They don't even try. They're not even trying. You know, like, Rey Mysterio, it put him up, like, next to Kane, and it's just, like, you know, way different in size. And, like, the way it should be. I don't know. Bothers me. All right. Harlem Heat beat, Scotty Riggs and Lodi. Chris Jericho. Of course, he had to say, I'm buff, I'm tough, I'm the stuff, and the girls just can't get enough. Awesome. Awesome.
Didn't he Bagwell beat Jericho like two Nitros ago?
Yes.
I thought I remembered that.
Macho Man beats Lex Luger following a flying elbow smash with the top turnbuckle. So Lex Luger could lose clean, but that's awesome.
And you missed a segment here with NWO coming out. And whole NWO comes out and they give him a ring, this solid gold replica of his world heavyweight title belt. Then they remember they had the big poster of him on Sports Illustrated from the 80s, and they had it come down from the ceiling.
And, yes, I remember this.
Yeah, that's about it.
They
come to the ring again.
Yes.
Hogan talks about how the pressure's on Sting, and he can't take it. Somebody from the crew brings out another gift, and... It says it's not from him. It's some kind of a box. And Bret Hart comes in the NWO limo and stands in the aisle and smiles. Hogan opens the gift, and it's a model of his severed head. So obviously somebody watched the movie Seven the week before this show aired because he had the head in the box. Hogan looks at Bret and says, asks him if he did this. Bret just smiles, and then Sting appears at the entranceway and rappels to the ring. And as soon as he gets... As soon as he's about to enter the ring from rappelling, they go to black.
Yes, of course. All right. So we're at Starrcade. This is it, everybody. Biggest pay-per-view ever. Remember, this is the biggest pay-per-view ever. They know they're going to get millions of people to watch the show. Just remember that.
You know, I compare the show to, you know, this was really the peak show of their... of WCW's, like, boom period that they had. I kind of compare it to, like, WrestleMania 17 was, like, WWE's. It was the peak of the Attitude Era. I kind of compare it like that.
Yeah, it's... No, I 100% agree with you.
Needless to say, WrestleMania 17 was a much better show than this one.
Yes, by...
This, This was like the best built show of all, one of the best built shows. It ended up being like one of the worst shows.
All right.
No, I thought this show was horrible.
Bad. Very, very bad. Let's go. Eddie Guerrero. Just a good match. It was a good match. And
I think
Malenko
you're doing that good now thing again on your phone.
Oh, sorry, sorry. Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
All right, sorry about that. It was a good match. Eddie,
it was like it Eddie was a good match, but it wasn't what they could have done more. I think.
It
just
was the
seemed like
show of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know, for the kind of matches they've had, I expected more out of the match. It was just kind of basic wrestling match.
Yes. Speaking of like my phone, in a couple of weeks I am moving, and I will be getting a house phone in my new place. So this will not be happening anymore.
That's cool.
All right. Yes. Yeah, Dean Malenko's never won a Starrcade match. The new WWE referee debuts here, Charles Robinson, which is interesting that they debuted a referee at Starrcade, but whatever. Where did Charles Robinson come from?
Let's point out that Malenko has never won a Starrcade match. This was his second Starrcade match.
Yeah. He never won the first one.
Oh, my God. It's his second match. I mean, when you get to, like, about, I mean, what's this? Like, the, this is like saying, like, after the Undertaker's first WrestleMania win that he has a streak going, you know, or his first two wins. You know, I don't know. It's just so stupid.
All right. They built up that match between Kevin Nash and the Giant. They built it up pretty good, you know. People are excited. Kevin Nash is not there.
I'm trying to remember the story. Story was Nash called him and said that he thought he had a heart attack. And I remember at the time his stepfather was like had been in the hospital. I think he eventually ended up dying shortly after. And he had, like, heart problems in his family. And I don't know. I think it ended up being, like, indigestion or something. But who knows?
Yeah. Yeah. So Scott Hall comes out, says he's not there, says that Nash isn't there. So, of course, you think it's going to be a match between Scott Hall and the Giant. Nope. Just, like, a little thing. Giant chokeslams him. Or power bombs them, and that's it.
This
that's
is no
it.
Show number one.
Yes. No show number one. And Randy Savage, main eventer, teams with Scott Norton and Vincent to beat the Steiner Brothers and Ray Traylor. Come on. Why?
Originally,
why would you get a match?
Originally, it was going to be Conan with Scott Norton and Vincent, but I believe that Conan's girlfriend, like, had a miscarriage, so he wasn't able to make the show. So they decided, well, let's put Randy Savage in this match, and Savage said he'd do the match, but he has to get the win, and he has to beat, like, the biggest star on the opposite team. So he pinned Scott Steiner.
Why did I know that?
That's why they won.
Did not know that. So Savage wasn't even supposed to be on the show.
No, he wasn't even on the show. And they just brought him in, and he would only do the match if he could win and beat the biggest star on the other team. Which, that sounds so stupid, doesn't it?
It does.
Had to beat the biggest star on the other team. What a mark.
Yeah. Gigi Dillon finally announced that the referee for the main event is Nick Patrick. Former NWO member Nick Patrick.
Yes.
Bill Goldberg beat Steve McMichael. They built that up pretty good, too.
Yeah, they did.
They did. They built that up.
I don't remember this being very good, but it had a good build up to it.
All right. Even again. At Starcade, the biggest show.
And they knew in advance, but they knew like weeks ago he wasn't going to be in this match. Blatant false advertising.
Why did they know he wasn't going to be in it?
I think he had like an appendicitis or some kind of ailment or something.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
I mean, when he said I've chosen not to wrestle again, I said, you got to be fucking kidding me. I've been watching this shit for like a month, and he hadn't wrestled in no die.
Yeah, like, Alex Wright did have a brain aneurysm. So.
Yeah.
Yes. Buff Bagwell beat Lex Luger because Scott Norton interfered.
This result makes no sense considering the last two finishes of their matches. Shouldn't Luger have got a clean win?
It should have been.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just so. Real quick, they have a bunch of wrestlers out in the crowd to watch the big Sting Hogan match. Alex Wright and
awesome.
Barry Darso, Ernest Miller.
Love when they did that. DDP beats Kurt Hennig by beating him with a diamond cutter. It was cool.
Decent match. Probably the second best match on the show.
Yeah, it was cool. It was considered a big win.
Yeah.
So that's cool. Zbyszko beat Derek Bischoff because Bret Hart beat up Scott Hall. And he's awarded the match to Larry Zbyszko. No pin.
I just remember Bischoff loading his kick pads with like a foreign object. And he goes to kick Larry Zbyszko in the head, and right before it connects, the foreign object goes flying out into the crowd. You remember that?
Yeah. Yes, I do.
And then just Bret Hart just like decked Bischoff, and you know, and then declared Zbyszko the winner. I don't know. This was not very good.
Speaking of not very good, let's get to the main event. All right, so Sting versus Hogan. Hogan comes out to Voodoo Child. Big Voodoo Chili, as Mike today would call it. He's off for over a year, okay?
Yep.
And the story of the match is that he's supposed to have lost via a fast count from Nick Patrick. Let's see, 1, 2, 3. But what happens, and it was 1, 2, 3, and just pins him. Bret Hart comes out, I don't know where, restarts the match and says, muffled over the microphone, you know, no one's going to get screwed again on my watch, because he's still a referee for the night, you know.
Yeah.
But so he restarts the match, and Sting wins, and he's announced as a champion. And
this was like, I don't know what to say about this match. Okay. I mean, if you watched it, Hulk Hogan got fucked. He beat the man right in the middle of the ring. I seen him on two eyes. I don't know if Nick Patrick says he thought he was making a fast count, which I don't know. I don't know what the deal was. This was just so weird. And this
was
like killed Sting dead in one night.
So bad.
Yeah, and then at the beginning of the match, he just walks from the dressing room to the ring. It's like he's some random guy on the roster. I mean, look at all the other entrances he had, like, the year before. Just, and then he just walks to the ring like some geek, and the match was no good. Hulk Hogan got in most of the offense, and then he just hit him with a leg drop and beat him clean as a sheet.
Yep.
And the ending, after you've seen Hulk Hogan beat this man, and then Sting, and then Hogan gets screwed out of the title, and everybody from WCW jumps in the ring to celebrate. And I know it reminded me of when Luger beat Yokozuna by count out at SummerSlam 93, and everybody's acting like he won the world title or something. With all the balloons and the confetti, and they got him on their shoulders and stuff. This match, this was a year and a half, like almost a 2 year build for this, or a year and a half build for this piece of shit right here. This was the beginning of the end for a company, I believe.
It was. The beginning of the end. And this is the... Just... If you guys think this is bad, it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse, or we're going to try making light of it. You know? So... It should work out okay. It should work out okay.
Real quick, before we go, there was a Nitro the next night, and we just need to talk about the main event real quick. Was a rematch with Sting and Hogan. Because Hogan came out and said he got screwed and demanded a rematch, and Sting agreed to defend the title, so they have the match, and they're in the middle of the match, and all I see is Sting going for the Stinger Splash, and Hogan pulls referee Randy Anderson in front of him, and then the fade to black and go to the next TNT program. And the show was over.
Just,
I love how they'd have like 3 hours and still couldn't have the finish to a match. That's amazing.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it really is. I mean, it really, really is. Just, what do you say? What can you say, you know?
I don't know. This is just terrible, terrible match. At least, you know, like, you have other big matches that are built up. Like, Hulk Hogan and Andre, that match was not a very good match.
Not at all.
Somebody won clean. And nobody even cared that the match was no good. I mean, it was just the atmosphere of the whole thing. You had the two biggest stars in the business at the time going at it. I mean, it's just, you didn't care about how bad the match was. It was just, you're in front of all those people at the Silver Dome, and, I mean, everybody's, you know, cheering. The crowd's going crazy, and it's just I still like that match just because of stuff like that.
Yeah, Shawn Michaels was injured when he had to lose to Stone Cold. And, you know, they had a good match. It wasn't great, but it was pretty good. But the reason people were there is because they wanted to see Stone Cold win the world title.
Yeah.
And that was it. You know what I mean? And that's all they had to do, and that's what they did. So it all worked out. All right, I think we need to end this show, because I need to go to bed. It's really, really late. All right, so next week we will get into 1998. Finally, it took us 10 episodes to get in. Give us a little bit of a couple big pointers that we could talk about 1998 that are going to be happening.
You talking to me?
Yes.
Oh,
Thunder starting?
Thunder starting. I mentioned the beginning of the year. You know, they got the Rodman thing in 1998. They got the Jay Leno thing in 1998. Probably the best promo Ric Flair ever did was in 1998 when he came back after they sued him. Goldberg won the world title in 1998. And,
Goldberg loses the world title.
This is when the ship started sinking in 1998.
Yep. That is the truth.
That's the truth. And the Giant rejoins the NWO in 1988. So
yep.
we will get into all of that, everybody. So everybody, thank you for listening, and we will be back next week. So everybody, take it easy.